You're listening to the TV Obsessive Channel, presented by TVObsessive.com.
Okay, welcome back to the TV Obsessive Podcast, episode 44. We're recording here today. As always, I'm Cameron Crane, the executive editor of TVObsessive.com, joined by Ryan Kurtze, writer and contributor for the site. How are you doing today, Ryan?
Dark, brooding, inner monologue. You know, feeling very, very noir today.
Keep drinking. I can't get drunk.
Yeah.
Is that good or bad? I think that's bad. I think it's probably a bad thing overall. Well, hopefully that doesn't feel like a spoiler. They are making allusion to the new Apple TV Plus show, Sugar, starring Colin Farrell, which we're going to talk about in the latter part of the pod. Came out today. Hopefully you watched it if you're listening. If not, we're not going to get into that until the latter half. We'll have a spoiler warning before we do, as per usual. In the first part here, we'll talk about some recent TV news items, chat about what we've been watching, all that good stuff. If you're a regular listener, you know how this works.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, it's April 5th. What do we got?
Yeah, a few things in the news this week. If several movies and a very popular Broadway musical weren't enough, we're going to get a Legally Blonde television series, which Reese Witherspoon is involved in it, although unclear if she will reprise her role. But there's a Legally Blonde series coming soon.
Yeah, are you a fan of Legally Blonde?
I would say enjoy the first movie. My daughter more so now enjoys the musical and the movie, so it's on a loop in our house. But I can't say I revisited either one of them in a number of years.
Right on. Yeah, I never saw the second film. I know I saw the first film when it came out, which almost 25 years ago.
It was a massive, massive movie when it came out.
Very, very big hit and all that. I know they've done some other stuff. It is kind of interesting. You were talking about this a little bit, how we're getting these reboots or adaptations, TV show adaptations of films kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
And it does often seem like they're films that are 20, 25 years old. I don't know. Any thoughts about this in general?
Yeah, I just have noticed how much of that there is coming. I mean, we've had bits and pieces of this over the years, clearly with Fargo, which is not a true adaptation of the movie, but certainly very much in the style. I think this weekend there's the Ripley show coming to Netflix, which is some sort of loose adaptation to Talented Mr. Ripley. We've got Treadstone coming, which is a Jason Bourne television show. We had True Lies. We have just so much of this happening. I guess this this doesn't surprise me. You find something that works, and even if it's 25 years later, you want to see if you can rekindle the passion people had for it when it first came out.
Is it our fault? I mean, like our generation, is it our fault? Because here's my thought. A lot of this stuff is pulling back from stuff from when we were younger, like we were in high school, we were in college or whatever, right? Because we're both about the same age.
Yeah.
I don't want to say mid-40s, but
it's true. It's true.
I turned 44 in like 4 months. But, so it's that kind of stuff. And you can get the game. Like, it's not necessarily bad. But so potentially, we remember Legally Blonde.
Yep.
So we feel some inclination towards checking out this TV series. And then there are younger people that can make your kids watch it,
Yeah, I mean, this is, we've talked about X-Men 97. We've talked about several things. There's a whole nostalgia industry right now. I mean, we had nothing to do in the 90s except watch these movies, watch these shows, go to the mall and watch the movies again. This is just what we did. So, hey, we're the ones with disposable income now, apparently. So why not prey on that?
Yeah. Well, what did you and your friends do in high school? Oh, sometimes we'd go to the movies, and other times we'd go to the store and look at movies and buy movies.
Or buy the soundtrack to the movies.
Go to Blockbuster and rent movies sometimes. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, there is a part of me that wants to rant about how they need to come up with new ideas and against all this nostalgia and everything else. And then there's another part of me, every time I see one of these things, I'm kind of intrigued. So they win, I guess.
Well, so this is a Amazon production, so someday down the road we will get more Legally Blind.
Yeah, and we'll see what they do with it. You know, I do think it's kind of interesting with a lot of these things where they're not just directly adapting a film, but the film is sort of an inspiration for a TV series idea. And sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it works and people love it, and they cancel a League of Their Own, the TV show, anyway. So, you know, various things are possible. Yeah, that show has a really hard fan base that was, you know, is crushed that they can't cancel the League of Their Own. On a different front, in terms of something coming to our TVs, hopefully at least, HBO has sent a pilot in order for a new show from Tim Robinson and Zach Kanin called The Chair Company.
This guy, I mean, having a moment, certainly. I mean, his show has exploded, and I guess it's led to his show shows I Think You Should Leave. That's his production, right?
I think you should leave
So
with Tim Robinson.
with Tim Robinson. And so I didn't see any details in here about the Chair Company, but he is starring in this, producing it. It's got some big names behind it. So yeah, this is something I'll check out, certainly.
Yeah, someone beat me to the obvious joke that his job is chairs. If you know, I don't know. I mean, it's I'm not terribly familiar with Zach Kanin, and apologies if I'm saying his name wrong, even that's possible. But he's been involved in the writing of I Think You Should Leave and also Detroiters with Tim Robinson in the past. So, you know, they're creative partners, so this makes sense. Definitely looking forward to that one. I guess it's been in the air for a little while. I mentioned this to Hawk Ripjaw, who writes for the site, because he's a really big fan. And he was like, oh yeah, I thought they announced that months ago. And so I think that maybe they announced that they were developing it months ago. And
I see.
then this was seriously 2 or 3 days ago. It's an official pilot order. So hopefully this works out. In today's day and age, you don't often anymore get the make a pilot and then we'll see move, which is what this sounds like.
Yeah, straight to series. I was were struck by a comment here. Again, this is just an article from the Deadline that we're referencing here, that because two of the sort of flagship comedies on HBO, Barry and Curb Your Enthusiasm, have ended or are coming to an end, they are moving in the direction of this show as something to sort of fill the gap. I don't think you try to go the direction of something that can fill the gap with those two shows. You try to, I think this is sort of a slight deviation, and they're talking about sort of creator performers, more sketch things. So yeah, this is just gonna, I mean, you can try to fill the gap with something of those two mega shows, but I guess I'll have to rely on this and Righteous Gemstones and a couple
Yeah, I think
other
he's got the
things
Righteous Gemstones.
that
Yeah, he's got the Righteous Gemstones. Keep
like.
that going for 4 or 5 more seasons or however many
Exactly.
they want, you know. But yeah, I'm not sure. From my impression of the Chair Company, I don't think it's going to be a sketch show. That's
It
possible.
doesn't sound like it. It doesn't sound like
Yeah.
it.
But did you ever watch Detroiters? I think we talked about this
No, I've
on.
never seen Detroiters.
It's pretty funny. It's all available on Paramount Plus. People are all those Comedy Central shows are all on Paramount Plus. It's like potentially a reason to get Paramount Plus and watch, you know, Detroiters and Review and I don't know, whatever else. But Detroiters is pretty funny. With Tim Robinson and Sam Richardson are the leads in that. And they have this kind of low rent advertising agency where they make the like cheesy bad local TV commercials. You know, it's pretty funny. There's 2 seasons of that. So looking forward to The Chair Company.
Oh, what else is coming our way? Just on the coming soon front. This is one of these. I know we've talked about Orphan Black before. I have not seen Orphan Black before. I believe that, well, there are many people who are fans of this show. You've seen this, yes. You're caught up on this show.
Well, that's a yes and a no. Cards on the table. I did not finish Orphan Black. I did at one part start watching Orphan Black, I thought that was pretty good. Tatiana Maslany is great. She's particularly great in this show where she's playing
Yes.
like multiple characters and multiple versions of the same character. And it's an interesting show. There's like cloning involved and stuff. I don't think that's a huge spoiler. It's kind of to the premise.
Yeah.
It went along for a while. It's one of these shows, Orphan Black, the original, where there are kind of a lot of twists. At a certain point, it felt to me like that was one twist too many. I'm out. And I don't know if that was fair. I did not actually that self-consciously quit it, like out of anger or something. I
Yeah.
just didn't continue. But it was good enough that I think about going back to it and finishing it out, seeing what happens. And this new show makes me think about that a little bit more. This one apparently starring Kristen Ritter, and I do like Kristen Ritter.
Yeah, Jessica Jones, right?
Yeah, Jessica Jones and
Yeah.
Jane in Breaking Bad, and
Yes.
she had that show Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that show.
Yeah, Kristen Ritter's good, I like Kristen Ritter. So I don't know. Yeah, Orphan Black Echoes, and it's also been on my radar for a while because at one point I thought they were going to release it last year. It was on my 2023 list, and now finally they've said, okay, it's coming June 23rd. To AMC slash AMC Plus.
Another thing to add to the list of June premiere. So is this a sort of mini series? Is this a full season that's coming? What's your understanding?
I'm not sure if they, I'm not sure if they plan on going beyond one season. I would
Yeah.
guess they probably do,
Yeah.
because like we were talking about with Legally Blonde, or at least the connection in my mind would be, it's this move that all these production companies are making of trying to mine existing IP, right?
Right.
It's like, we know there are Orphan Black fans. Let's make more Orphan Black. Let's figure out a way to do it, right? It's like a couple weeks ago, I was the Showtime exec or whatever. I mentioned in some article we were talked about making more Dexter. Like, well, it's like, okay, because it's an existing thing, and
Yeah.
you look at AMC and what they're doing with The Walking Dead. So,
You know, it's funny you mentioned mining IP again, particularly as it relates to Orphan Black. I don't recall exactly when Orphan Black premiered and what years it was on, but somebody on a podcast this week was talking about this idea that, what's the statute of limitations on years back for nostalgia? Like, is it 5 years now that, oh, remember when Orphan Black came out 6 years ago? We should try to bring that back, resurrect that again. It was just here. It's like you can't draw nostalgia when something just ended.
timescales are really weird, though. Timescales are
Yeah.
weird because another thing, and this isn't in our notes, but I did see a couple things about this week. Daredevil Born Again is what it's called, right? And Jon Bernthal is going to be back as the Punisher and so
Oh,
on. And
yes.
I think that was kind of already known, but they released some images. But it
Yes.
didn't quite feel like news. But to mention it here, I think back to sometimes when I'm talking to someone who's younger, like in their 20s,
Yeah.
super young, they're experience of time differs just enough where they feel like those Netflix shows, Daredevil and so on, were a
Yeah.
long time ago.
Yeah.
And my experience of time is such like, oh yeah, I remember that came out a couple years
Yeah.
ago.
It was like last year, right? Yeah.
And it was like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So
I mean, they were all teenagers and sort of the most absorbing moments of their life now, and we're just, oh, it just all runs together for us as those old guys.
yeah, my uncle, who's a neuroscientist, once put it to me, like explaining this about time. I don't know if this is a comforting thought, warning, but he said basically, well, Cameron, if you think about it, every day you're alive, a day is proportionally less of your life.
No,
And that's
that's not comforting.
just like, oh, thanks, Uncle Brian. Like, so because the implication is the older you get, the worse this feeling's gonna get, right? Like,
Yes.
it's never gonna get better.
Oh my gosh. Oh.
But he has a
Well,
point.
let's revisit something from a few weeks back. You pointed out that the lawsuit's been settled with this George Carlin AI dispute.
Yeah, so I wanted to follow up on this. We talked about it however many weeks ago it was, to remind people. This dudesy podcast or whatever we call it had put up what at least claimed to be an AI generated quote unquote George Carlin special on YouTube. And of course, we were offended by this, and hopefully everyone in the world was. Kelly Carlin was, and the Carlin estate sued, and so on. We hit on this before. And then, like, after the lawsuit was filed, we followed up on, they said, oh, yeah, this was just written by some guy, whether that helps or not, you know. So they settled the lawsuit. They took the video down a while ago, and they've settled the lawsuit. And this does seem to be, it's something in the direction of saying you can't do this kind of stuff.
Certainly the decision, again, they had pulled it down earlier, but decision came down. It had to remain down. They could not continue to use this. It's believed to be the first decision rendered on a celebrity's likeness, in this type of use. I didn't see anything about any sort of financial settlement in here, but this will at least set a precedent that you can't just create something to use someone's likeness and not and expect to not have any sort of ramifications because of it.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I do wonder about. I hope it sets a precedent, but I think in technical legal terms, not quite, because it is a settlement as opposed to a court decision. So, in other words, hopefully it's a warning to people in the world that, hey, maybe you'll get sued and it's not going to go well for you. But
Yeah, they didn't get to win. That's the important part. They didn't get to win and keep it up.
yeah, but I would. Personally, I would really like to see something established in the law against doing this kind of thing. And I know that there's something on the horizon from OpenAI, I think, where they've developed and have held off on releasing something that will mimic someone's voice based on 15 seconds of audio or something. Like they were just going to release an app that would let anyone do this. And there's been enough going on, like, oh, maybe we'll hold off on that. And personally, I wanted to get to where they just, no, not okay. And we might have to pass new laws in order to get there, or you could try to grapple with it through existing copyright law and stuff like that. That feels really messy to me, to what I, from what I know about copyright law, that feels really messy, but you could theoretically do it.
Well, I guess we're already in this world. I was gonna say this world is coming, but we are already in it. And there will, if this app doesn't come out, the next one will. And it's gonna be just easier and easier to do this. And these decisions need to be made before you get down the road of allowing anything that shouldn't be allowed. That's what, as we've talked about it ad nauseum, what they fought so much for in these strikes last summer.
Yeah, for sure. And there are lawsuits going on. There's other stuff here. We're not being comprehensive, but we'll see where it comes down legally. I probably mentioned this before, seeing the argument from one of these companies. Maybe again, it was OpenAI, where they said, well, but if you make us follow those laws, we'll have to shut down. Like, yeah, maybe
Yep,
should
that's
then.
usually how laws
Maybe
work.
you should. So, but we'll see. Sometimes those arguments win in court where, like, this is so central to our business, So we'll see. What else we got? We got a
All right,
couple
a
other
couple other
things
just
here.
quick notes here. Just want to touch on some interesting viewership record that was set this week. I don't know if you're a women's college basketball fan, but the Caitlin Clark Angel Reese matchup from the weekend drew more than 12 million viewers to women's college basketball. I mean, far and away the highest it's ever seen a women's game. This was higher than any other college game of the year. This was higher than all but one professional NBA game. So, but this was fantastic for the sport, fantastic for just the sense of it was an incredible game. So just this sort of getting some press. I saw everyone from Jason Sudeikis, who was at the game, to Travis Scott, to all these other people just sort of pumping this thing up. So good for them. It was quite the impressive showing from the Elite Eight.
Yeah, Caitlin Clark is becoming quite the star. She's got State Farm commercials, and
Exactly.
I
She
think
is
the
gonna go on to the WNBA, and she'll make $80,000 to play and another $8 million in endorsements. So good for her.
is that all they make to play?
They don't make
That's
very much in that league still.
that's unfortunate.
Yeah, more than that, but it's not much.
She got an offer, I guess, to play from the Big Three league thing. I don't know if she's going to do it.
Yeah. I mean, I think she'll get, and there have been some WNBA players who do this. They'll play in the WNBA for $100,000 and then go pe play in the offseason for, Japan for $1 million. They'll just take with whatever thing. Now, this was before sort of NIL stuff happened in
Yeah.
NCAA, but they can take advantage of it as much as they want now.
Yeah, I was just thinking about mentioning that, right? The NIL thing, it's still bizarre to me, being the age that we are, and I guess it's been going on for, I don't know, a few years now. I don't know when they started
Yeah.
this exactly, but it still is a little bit weird to me to see a college athlete on a State Farm commercial.
Yep, that's right.
I remember what they did to Reggie Bush.
Oh yeah, stripped him of everything because
They did. Yeah.
he took a few bucks. Yep.
Because, I don't remember the details, but in my mind, it's kind of like, because they bought him dinner. It's like,
All right, last thing I
anyway.
wanted to hit on was Grey's Anatomy renewed for its 21st season. This makes it one of the five or six longest running shows in U.S. history. If you're on for 21 years, you're going to get a lot of people cycle through a show, right?
Yeah.
So I just wanted to ask you if you knew. So in Grey's Anatomy, there are 39 main and recurring casts credited for this
Wow.
show over the years. 39. How many of them have been with the show since season one? How many of the 39?
This is totally a guessing game,
Okay,
right?
yeah,
Okay,
totally
so
good.
I'm going to guess three.
You are exactly right. You're
Ding, ding, ding.
you win the year if you tell me who they are. I bet you can guess one of them.
Oh, if I can do one of them, I can't do that, really. No.
The titular Gray, Meredith Gray,
Okay.
Ellen Pompeo has been with the show since the very beginning, as well as Chandra Wilson, who plays Miranda Bailey, and James Pickens, who plays Richard Weber. All your Patrick Dempseys, your Katherine Heigl, your Sandra Ohs, long gone. So they're all new cast, but three have remained for 21 seasons of this show.
Pretty impressive. Now,
Yeah.
I thought I saw that it was renewed for season 21, and somehow I thought I read last year that it was going to end after season 20.
No, I
Did I
guess
just make
not.
that up?
I guess not.
Maybe I just made that up. Like, 20 seasons, that's a lot. It must be almost over.
Apparently, it still does well in streaming. It still does well in the plus five, right? On DVRs, things like this. So there's still people checking in with Grey's Hospital after all these years.
it's something. As we can say from that and talk about Curb a little bit. We're both up
Oh,
to speed
yes.
on Curb.
Yes.
Finale is looming, right? The finale is on Sunday,
Yeah,
right?
the finale is on Sunday. I've seen Larry David everywhere. I've seen the think pieces all over the place. This was the one episode, Curb is what, usually 30 to 40 minutes. HBO rolls the credits, and then you get a little coming up next week. This was the one episode where they didn't do anything about coming up next week. It was just sort of a
Yeah.
get ready to say goodbye to,
Good.
our person here. And so no clue what it's going to be about, but you and I think both have our theories.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, is it a spoiler to, like, are we spoiling the Seinfeld finale? Like, this is the guess that I have. But it seems like almost too obvious of a guess that it's going to parallel the Seinfeld finale. But it's a possibility. We know a lot of people panned the Seinfeld finale, and Larry David has always insisted, "You're wrong. That was a good finale."
And he's been out this week defending that finale. So, I
Yeah.
mean, it's probably not too much of a stretch to see where this is going.
So it might, I mean, it's definitely set up to resonate in one way or another with that, I suppose. People are up
Yeah.
to speed on this season of Curb Your Enthusiasm. There's legal stuff going on. This past week episode, I thought it was pretty funny. This whole season's been great. It's gonna be sad to see the show go.
Yeah, it really is. And I mean, for a number of reasons, not just because of Larry David and the core cast that they have there. You just think of a show like that, and I think you won't see really anything like this for a long time, if ever, right? There's just nothing you can compare it to. And some people have found it cringe and awkward. Some people have found it not my style. But it's, if you spend all these years with it, as you and I have from time to time, then it's gonna be hard to say goodbye to.
The only thing I could compare it to that's still ongoing, because of course you could compare it to Seinfeld, not
Yeah.
exactly the same, but there's some similarities in the humor. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. feels somewhat similar to me in terms of its
Yeah.
style of humor of kind
Now,
of, I like these people, but they're also terrible,
they're
that
also
kind of
they're
thing.
terrible. And Curb is famous for, give these very talented people a theme, a couple of points you want to hit, let them just go and improv the thing. How much is Sonny improvised, or do you know if it is or is not? I just am not unfamiliar with that.
You know what? I don't really know. I don't feel prepared to speak
Yeah.
to that. That was kind of an off the cuff comment that I made. It feels like it is at least a little bit, but I do think that they write scripts. Of course, Curb too, they have the main plot points scripted out, right?
Yes, they do. They script out plot points, things they want them to specifically hit or say. Beyond that, it's Larry and Carl and all these guys just going.
How you do it and what you say exactly, you know. I mean, it's a great show. 25, I think it's 25 years, and
25.
wrapping up on Sunday. I guess It's Always Sunny is a little bit different. Curb, you made me think about how one of the things that really distinguishes Curb is how everything tends to culminate in a moment of, I want to say, almost disaster. You know what I mean? So, like, will the finale give us closure? What counts as closure? I think here what counts as closure is the walls close in and bump, 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 bump. It's like, all right. In one way or another, like, whatever it is. And one of the things I've also always enjoyed is they don't tend to follow up on some of this stuff. Like, an episode will end where it's like, and then everything comes to a head and it's going to be really bad. Like, with the, bricks on the wall at the synagogue or whatever, and then again they just don't follow up on it, just move
We'll never know the ends of these things, which is some of the brilliance of it, that there's just so much hanging out there that is Larry has left his, I don't want to say his mark, but he has left his imprint on a lot of places in a lot of bad ways in that world.
on. Definitely. Anyhow, what else are you watching this
Yeah,
week?
I caught the first episode. There are two episodes of Loot that also came out on Apple TV this week. We've talked about this show before. Maya Rudolph, Adam Scott is back. Adam Scott, go film Severance. You can get away from Loot for a minute. But this Loot is back for two episodes, going to be 8 more weeks. Really, just really, again, combination of funny and heartwarming show with a really strong comedic cast. If you haven't seen it before, I recommend you fly through season one, won't take very long, and season two has just started this week.
Oh yeah, I still need to check that out myself. You said good things about it. Sounds like a good show. No news on Severance, by the way.
Yeah.
I did see a very mean April Fool's Day joke, which I don't appreciate. Account on Twitter who claimed that there was a release date. Not
Oh
funny.
man.
It's not
Yeah.
funny. I don't care for it. I didn't mind April Fool's Day so much when we were kids, but
Yeah.
anymore with the internet and the internet being what it is.
Yeah.
Don't like it at all. Not on board with it at all. Like, just, it's not funny.
No,
It's a liar.
it's too much to keep up with too. You can't keep straight what is and what isn't. It's just, yeah, just ignore, just avoid it that day.
Well, and it's worse too, because then there's the question of, do they take the joke article down? You
Right.
know what I mean? If they don't, then maybe you come across it later. Oh, this was an April Fool's Day joke.
Yeah. What about you? What you got going on?
So one thing I've discovered. Yeah, I watch things on YouTube. We've hit on The Daily Show, and that was kind of an entry point to sucking me back into watching some other stuff along those lines, which would be things like, Seth Meyers, A Closer Look, and opening monologues from Stephen Colbert sometimes, stuff like this, on YouTube. And I discovered, some people listening might already know about this, been going on for years. This feature from Seth Meyers called Corrections on YouTube. Do you have any idea what this is? Have you heard of this
I
before?
do not, but I'm guessing he, I don't know, go backs and corrects mistakes from his show after it's over. Okay.
So once a week, apparently, I think this is a YouTube exclusive. Okay.
Yeah.
And so once a week, basically, they'll put out an episode of Corrections. And you get Seth Meyers sitting at his desk, and usually he has a glass of like scotch. I think it's scotch. I'm not positive. Probably long time. viewers of Corrections know exactly what he's drinking, because it's all this feeling that becomes very kind of inside jokey, right?
Okay.
Like, long time viewers of this, I went back and watched some old ones, but I haven't watched all. There's like 100 of them.
Oh, wow.
But callbacks to previous things, little inside kinds of jokes that are only in Corrections, basically. And it's all very kind of casual in its style, in a way, and not polished, and it feels very personal. I don't know, it's interesting. Apparently it's won an Emmy or two
Oh, wow.
in
That's
whatever weird
I had no idea.
category, right? It's one of these like small categories for
Okay.
like whatever. I'm not sure. Short form late night
Yeah,
television
you're
or
right.
whatever, you know, it's
Right.
like but I don't know, it's pretty cool. I've kind of gotten into it, and it definitely is a bit unique. You know, I think he said that when they were starting out, he wanted to do this.
Yeah.
The studio wasn't sure about it, didn't necessarily approve it, didn't
Okay.
necessarily like pay him for it. Like, we're just gonna do it and see how it goes. And yeah, it's kind of cool. I don't know, it creates a bit of parasocial, you know,
Interesting.
interaction with Seth Meyers at a level that's a little different from his normal show. So I
Yeah, I
enjoy
do.
it. It's on YouTube.
As I say, I do sort of enjoy these sort of meta things that these folks do, or these extra, you know, sort of content that they produce. So, like I said, I'm like you. I catch a lot of these talk shows and things like this on YouTube. So that's probably the way, yeah, I'll have to go catch it.
And look, as an editor, I also appreciate the premise of it, which is actually that they're going back and correcting things that, you know, mistakes they made over the previous week,
Yes.
slash sometimes he's just responding to someone who made a mean YouTube comment and then like makes a joke out of it and that sort of thing. But some of them actually are corrections, you know,
Oh,
that
that's
we said it was this kind of bird, but it was actually that kind of bird, you
okay.
know, and that kind of thing. So yeah, recommendation. It's on YouTube.
All right, I'll check it out.
Cool. So I think it's time to get to sugar.
Sugar, sugar. Yep, let's do
Ooh, the song.
it.
And okay, so Apple TV Plus premiered Sugar with two episodes. Excuse me. Two episodes. The title of the first, Olivia, the title of the second, These People, These Places. So we're gonna talk about both those episodes here, and spoilers on the table for what happens in the first two episodes of Sugar on Apple TV Plus. Nothing beyond the first two episodes, just the first two episodes. But you should have watched both of them before you listen to what follows.
That's
And
right.
okay, well, we'll throw in a little music and pick up on the other side.
All right, back to talk about the first two episodes of Sugar on Apple TV Plus. Episode one, Olivia, and episode two, These People, These Places. Both episodes written by Mark Protasevich, directed by Fernando Moraes. In these two episodes, we're introduced to LA private investigator and classic noir film lover John Sugar, who's hired by Jonathan Siegel, a powerful Hollywood director and the grandfather of Olivia Siegel. Olivia is missing, has been missing for a couple of weeks. So the grandfather has hired Sugar to try and find her. But as he begins his investigation, we'll learn a lot about who Sugar is, but also a lot of the obstacles that he runs into during this investigation, including Olivia's brother David and his bodyguard or pal Kenny, who are trying to follow him and sort of track his every move and see what he's up to. They don't trust him. Olivia's father Bernie, who thinks that she's probably just off on a drug bender somewhere and that this behavior has happened before and that this is very common for her. He is somewhat seduced and gets to know Olivia's stepmother, Melanie, who is a recovering alcoholic. And we learn that she may be hiding some secrets, not only about her past, but also about her relationship with Olivia. Sugar also discovers a dead body of some sort of male paramour found in the trunk of Olivia's car, and that body at the end of episode two disappears. Meanwhile, Sugar has a handler named Ruby, who is not only buys him old classic guns from movies, but someone communicating with him, but also communicating with someone else, mysteriously trying to keep tabs on what he's doing as this increasingly complex case unfolds. So, new show, new concept, new all new cast of characters that we're introduced to here certainly has an undeniable feel and style to it. You alluded to this in your recap on the website. Thoughts on the first two? You enjoyed it? You know, what did you think about it?
I really rather enjoyed it. I mean, I was saying to you right before we started to record, I think it does probably come down to the extent to which you're enjoying the style of the show. It looks like mixed reviews. I'm not reading reviews that have been put out. Want to watch it untarnished by the views of Alan Sepinwall or whatever, you know, personally. We're going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm writing about it. You mentioned I wrote a recap of these episodes for TVObsessive.com. That's the biggest thing to me. I enjoy this style. I'm a sucker for noir in general. There's something else that, I mean, there's a way in which the show is heavily stylized and it might turn some people off, but I like it. What about you?
Yeah, so I'm glad that we're going through this because I have not generally, I mean, I guess I've just been sort of agnostic towards this, the noir style, these types of movies. You mentioned the stylization. It's styled in such a way that there's almost seamlessly Colin Farrell acting in scenes of the show spliced into then pieces of old movies that kind of the conversation continues and it goes right back to what we've seen. So like I said, I've not necessarily spent much time with nor cared much about this type of style or this genre. But maybe even perhaps because of the characters and the acting and the people within it really sucked me in and drew my interest. The story I think is fine so far. I have no issues with how they've stylistically set up this show. I think good performances through the first two episodes.
Yeah, I agree for sure. From all over the place, really. Nate Corddry as David, don't call me Davey. Still, I've decided I'm just going to call him Davey
He's
because
Davy. Yeah,
I
that's
don't
right.
respect him. You
Davy and Kenny. Yep.
know, Davey Kenny. Yeah, so you've got that element. There's some humor to it, right? There's humor to a number of things that occur. It's not in terms of the style. I don't know if it's quite as dark as noir might make you think of, but I find this interesting. There's something that is a bit novel in how it feels to me, even though at the same time it's clearly playing with film noir and the opening credits, which are kind of like pulpy, illustrated magazine kind of style, and
Yeah.
there's all kinds of smooth jazz going on and a little bit of narration. But let's talk about the character, the title character,
Yeah.
played by Colin Farrell, John Sugar. Quite a name. But fitting. I mean, he's kind of sweet. He's a
Yeah,
sweet guy.
he's, I mean, certainly maybe what you would think of or expect to see in one of these types of films or in a genre show like this, stylish. Smooth talker, knows exactly what he's doing, doesn't ever seem to, you know, get phased in any way. But he is, there's an emotional side to him. We see that when he's taking care of the dog. We see that when, you know, he's sort of trying to empathize with the family, when he's taking care of Melanie after she passes out. So yeah, you know, you may think there's sort of a just sort of the black and white detective for some of these noir film. That'd be black and white just in terms of their morality. But this guy just sort of has a something where he wants to make sure he's taking care of you while also getting to the bottom of his mission.
Right, but I think it does fit in a certain way, even if it's a little bit different. Even if it feels a little bit softer. I don't know if he's a soft-boiled detective
Yeah.
or what we want to say, but that, you know, he kind of doesn't understand why he cares and the way that he cares, but he does, and he can't help it. And
Yeah.
I think then the flip side of that is he also just kind of doesn't understand why other people suck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so it's not like it's not like his character is tempted towards
Yeah.
the, you know, self-interested, evil, corrupt stuff and holds back. No, it's just like he's not tempted towards it,
Yeah.
and but he kind of doesn't understand why other people are, but he lives in a world where that's all over the place, and he knows it is, and he's used to it. He's almost sort of inured to it,
Yeah.
and yet he persists, and it's like, of course he's going to take care of the dog and so on and so
Right.
forth.
I found that what you're saying to be clear. I think there are two times. Once where he says, sort of again, the inner monologue, I don't like violence. Another time he says, I don't like hurting people. It's almost like this, what's left out is the comma, why do these people make me do it? You know, why do they, you know, it's just sort of this, I don't quite understand this line of work, why I have to sometimes have to resort to violence.
Right, like in the opening scene in Japan, which I think is just there to kind of set the stage. I doubt we'll return to it, but I could be wrong, so I don't
Yeah.
want to say that too strongly, but it kind of feels like it's there to start setting the stage of his character. And he tells the guys, like, well, look, you kidnapped this kid, and that kid's father's actually Yakuza, and this is going to be very bad for you. Just tell me where the kid is, and I'll give you time to run.
Yeah.
And like, of course, the guy doesn't do that. He
No.
attacks him or whatever. But I really do feel like Sugar meant it when he gave that offer. He meant that. Like, he wanted the
Yeah.
guy to take the offer and stand
Yeah.
over the kid and get out of here. You made a mistake. We all make mistakes. Don't double down. Don't fall prey to that sunk cost fallacy.
Yeah, and the when he confronts the guy towards the end of episode two, after I guess the unhoused guy overdoses, it's sort of like, yeah, he throws him up against the wall, but it's why? What'd you give him? Why did you have to do this? You know, he just then knew that that relationship, that the dog would have its person anymore, that someone he was trying to help bring them to another level. You know, had overdosed. He just, yeah, just sort of has this sentimentality that maybe you wouldn't quite have expected when you said, look at the first, let me just tell you the synopsis of this show.
He's disappointed in Carl. Carl, the guy with the dog,
Yeah.
it's your good man, Carl. Watch my car. He gives him money, gives him the phone, says, call your
Yeah.
sister, make arrangements to go stay with her, then call me tomorrow. I'll get you to Missouri or wherever it
Yeah.
was. I think it was Missouri, but I don't know for sure. I might be misremembering that. But then, no, unfortunately, Carl goes and gets drugs and
Yeah.
overdoses. And then Sugar's mad at the drug dealer.
Yeah.
But not for too long, because he's just disappointed.
Yeah.
Just to, okay, it went this way, I was
Yeah, so
never here,
it's an interesting characterization that if you had said there's going to be a show about Colin Farrell as a private investigator trying to solve a case, you'd think more hard-nosed, straight-laced, walk the line, do the things that that it takes to get it done, and not this sort of deviation to, I can't help but stop and pick this up or do this for this person along the way.
Yeah, and I think that's an inter it's an interesting spin on it. I mean, I feel like your classic film noir PI always was a little similar in a
Yeah.
way of I care about this. I don't know why I care. The world's unjust and it's never going to change. But for some reason, I just have to help this woman in trouble. Even though she's going to betray me, I know.
Yeah.
It's just like, okay, but it is a little different. At the same time, it feels a little bit, I don't know what.
So we have a
But
case with Sugar, who is tasked with finding Olivia Siegel. Thoughts on the different people within Olivia's family? We're introduced
yeah.
to said the grandfather, the father, the stepmother, the brother, all different like aspirations and interests in whether or not this case is solved, and what they think about it, whether it should even be happening, whether they should even be looking for.
Right, so you got Jonathan Siegel, well played by James Cromwell.
Yep.
Awesome. And he's hired John Sugar. Seems like a good guy. Is he really a good guy? Maybe we don't know yet, but he
Yeah.
seems like a pretty good guy, and he wants to find his granddaughter Olivia, who he cares about deeply, and he's very worried about her because she hasn't called him for money, right? We're told that she's previously disappeared, going on drug binges or whatever, but she always called Jonathan for money, always gave him money. He's softy, But she hasn't called, so he's very worried. And in the meantime, Olivia's father, Bernie, thinks, or says he thinks, that she's just out on a bender. Melanie says the same thing. This would be Bernie's ex-wife, Olivia's ex-stepmother. I don't know if it works that way. But not her biological mother. Her biological mother is deceased, was a prominent actress named Rachel K. I want to say, I've got her last name right.
That's right.
We didn't put that in notes here. But she had, and there's a lot of ins and a lot of outs, right? And so then you got Davey, who's the son of Bernie and is Olivia's half brother, played by Nate Cordry. I appreciate his performance also, because it's fitting for this kind of, I don't know how to characterize this guy.
He's
He's
just
not
kind
very
of,
smart.
yeah, he's the screw up trying to make dad happy. Can't do anything right. But yet dad keeps trusting him to try to outwit and outthink one of the smartest private detectives that exists.
Yeah, and they're apparently trying to reboot his film career by
Yeah.
making a version of a film that he was in when he was a kid, now following up the same character as an adult, which sounds
Yeah.
just like not a terribly good idea. It's kind of like, let's make Home Alone follow up with Kevin. Like, so let's see how.
Also sounds very 2024 to me.
Yeah, I mean, it does, but at the same time, it's kind of like, meh. There's a lot going on. At the same time, watching it felt fairly straightforward to me, or easy to follow anyway. But going back to recap it, I don't know if we're gonna hit on everything. I'm not sure I hit on everything in my article. Hopefully we just don't get anything wrong. It does seem that Davey is apparently the subject of multiple allegations of some kind that I think are sexual misconduct allegations, but I don't think it's said.
I think
So
that's
they're
the
kind of trying to
implication,
cover
yes.
them up. And so it would seem at least part of why Bernie doesn't want Sugar poking around is he doesn't want Sugar digging up various types of dirt around the family as he's looking for Olivia. But
That's the impression I got, that they're less concerned about whether or not Olivia is missing and needs to be found, and much, much more concerned. Bernie, Davey, Melanie, all much more concerned about what is he going to find along the way as he looks for Olivia and digs into all of us.
right, so they just want him to stop, go away, stop poking around, stop turning over rocks and looking in closets with skeletons in them and all of that. But of course, John Sugar is going to do no such thing. He's going to get to the bottom of this. Doesn't matter what the cost is, doesn't matter what the fallout is, he's not going to give up.
No,
So
that I think is a pretty strong characterization of, let me see, your film noir private detective, that I'll push through anything and everything to make sure I get to solve my case.
right, I think that is where it does very much fit with your classical kind of noir detective. And though he says that, Olivia reminds him of Jen, who we learn in episode two is his sister. Something bad happened to her, and we don't know what,
We have no
basically.
idea. So something very tragic, but we don't have a sense of why, when, what.
The name stands out, the spelling of the name, and maybe some people didn't notice this if they weren't using captions and haven't looked into things. DJEN, Jen.
That does stand out to me. No idea what that means yet. No idea if that's in relation to something else or a nickname, but we get that, I think, revelation right at the end of the second episode.
That Jen is a sister.
Yeah,
Yeah, just.
Jen's sister and something's happened to her.
Yeah, because he says something like, I hope this story doesn't end like Jen's did, so whatever. I tried looking into this. This isn't in the article I wrote, but I was poking around on it today, getting ready to record. I can't really find credible sources about like the name's meaning, which sometimes you can find, but I did find something from the names.org.
Okay.
Okay. But it said that this was a user-submitted comment from Nepal. So I'm just pointing out the very, very incredibly credible source that I'm pulling on here. Okay.
Oh
User-submitted
boy.
comment to names.org from some unknown user says that Jen means imaginary.
No way. All right,
Yep.
we're putting that in our pocket and we're gonna have to come back
Yeah, we got I was like got I gotta note that
and
because so yeah, is she real? We might have almost been
interesting.
led to that question anyway,
Yeah.
in a sense. And
So that is interesting because I believe it's the end of episode one. We have this sort of, I don't know if you call it a hallucination or a vision or something, where he thinks that from an injury he suffered in Japan, he thinks that he's bleeding in the shower, goes in, turns water, tries to clean it off. Then he sort of has this moment where he wakes up, but nothing had actually happened. And so it's sort of, is this again hallucination? Is this some sort of post-traumatic stress? Is that, what is this? Does he have some sort of blackouts? We're not quite sure what that was in reference to yet.
And he freaks out as he's watching videos of Olivia on the internet, and in particular, maybe as he's watching this video where Olivia is reenacting a scene from a film that her mother acted in. But he's digging into Olivia, who he says reminds him of Jen,
Yeah.
and he freaks out. And then he basically reconstructed the scene. I think there's some black and white thrown in as
Yes.
well. I don't know if ultimately there's going to be a way that we read into when it's black and white and when it's in color, or if it's just stylistic,
Yeah, I've been trying to track that and haven't really caught a pattern yet.
Definitely don't have a line on it yet myself
Yeah.
either, but it's something to note. So yeah, what's going on there? And does this relate, or how does this relate to his whatever the thing is with his arm that Ruby keeps wanting him to go to the doctor about? Right,
Yes.
like he'll kind of lose control of his arm or shake a little or whatever. I presume there's some connection there. Don't know
Yeah.
exactly what that is as of yet. At the same time, when he has the evening with Melanie and they drink a lot, John Sugar says that he's got like a super metabolism and he can't ever get drunk. I don't know. What do you make of that?
That's sounds like a line to me, you know.
I mean, it's like, that's not good. If is it true? Is
Yeah.
that tough, or is he just, he drinks so much that he's just got a super high tolerance because he's a functioning alcoholic?
Yeah.
There's, I don't know. I don't want to get into some kind of moralizing, but there are a couple of things that I don't know tempted me, like this
Yeah,
one.
that's almost a, if that's true, it's a power he could use, and we see how he could have taken advantage of that with something like Melanie when she gets, falls off the wagon and gets quite drunk and invites him back to her house. But he's not using that, it seems like, to get something out of people. He's not using it to his own advantage. He's not using it for selfish reasons. So it,
On
whether
the
that's true,
contrary, even, right? Oh, he
in
doesn't
a
take
very
advantage of her.
altruistic way.
Yeah, he doesn't take advantage of her either way, right?
Exactly.
Sexually or in just in terms of getting information, right? You might try to ask some, might try to ask her questions while she's intoxicated to get the truth out of her.
Exactly.
Even she herself later says that would have been a good plan on his part,
Yeah.
but he doesn't, he got to do it the right way,
Yeah.
They're not about exploiting people. Yeah.
Did you get a sense of why he went to her, I guess it's an AA meeting, why he went to her AA meeting and listened to her?
I got the impression she invited him there.
I guess so. I'm just not, I wasn't clear. I mean, she's just impressed with him, wanted to see him again, appreciated that he didn't do the things he could have done, and wanted to
Yeah.
have this falling out later. So I just found it interesting to what, how that happened. I guess I didn't quite track that.
I did think it was a little bit odd that the setting was an AA meeting, but I believe that there were indications that she called him up and wanted to see him.
Okay.
And then he's showing up at her AA meeting, which is a little, that bit felt a little bit weird to me because I don't know if you can generally do that.
No, I don't
I
think
don't, I,
so. Not
Well,
like
I
a
mean, it's not like
physical
they've got armed
protection.
guards at the AA meeting, but I don't know if that's generally viewed as okay, you know? But that's how it goes. All the stuff with substance abuse in here is, again, he drinks a ton, says he can't get drunk. He's driving around anyway. We'll just accept that. There's the Carl, whom he tries to help, and he gives him money, and Carl ends up using it for drugs. Don't super like that trope, yet it didn't bother me the way it played out. There was no indication. The show didn't try to land some kind of message like he shouldn't have given Carl the money. It didn't do that, which I appreciated.
That was the right move, just used in the wrong in the wrong way. And I think that, it's one of those scenes where you could almost almost you could remove that completely and it would not affect plot, but it certainly helps to develop character when we see that. And just sort of also as in contrast to Olivia's family, who almost all of them, except for grandfather, believe she's probably out on some sort of bender, but just don't really care that much. So
Yeah,
he's
that's
just
also interesting to
comparing
tie
him
in
to that
here.
family.
That's almost like, hey, if she's out on a drug bender, that's the good possibility. But I don't know. It definitely seems like it's something worse. Let's try to dig into these complexities on this front. You mentioned in your summary, Sugar finds a dead body in the trunk of Olivia's car when he gets in here, and the guy's name's Clifford Carter or something like that. And he's further connected this with the rape and murder of Carmen Vasquez, and Olivia's car was there the night that Carmen was killed, and a number of things kind of indicate that Clifford was the guy who killed her, I think. Maybe I'm jumping to a conclusion there a little bit, but it seems like a jump that you can make or an inference. When Sugar goes back to the trunk of the car, though, to I guess he was going to dispose of the body. I guess Ruby wanted him to dispose of the body. That's not entirely clear. He told Jonathan about it and mentions that legally he'd be obligated to report it to the police, but then he says he's going to pretend he never opened the trunk. But then he goes back to the trunk, and Ruby seems to be saying, go take care of that now. Don't put it off, John. When he goes back to the trunk's empty. He finds a strand of hair. And so that's a question. What happened to that body?
And it all ties in again somehow. So there's a connection to Olivia, to this guy, to Carmen, who was raped and murdered, to I believe Teresa, who is her sister that we meet at the very end, to some criminal underworld guy named Stallings, who is connected to Carter. But then Carter also had a picture of Melanie on his phone. So there's some sort of very entangled relationship here between all of these characters that Sugar is now. Now, Sugar was not there in that last scene, so he does
Correct.
not necessarily made all these connections yet, but we're starting to see what those are, even well ahead of what he has.
Yeah, the last scene's interesting because it seems to be giving us more information than our protagonist has at the moment. Sugar's trying to figure out what's the connection between Carmen and Olivia and this Clifford guy, right? And so we get here at the end of episode two, Teresa, we haven't met before either, but apparently she's Carmen's sister. And she's ambushed in her apartment by Stallings and his thugs, Eric Lang, who I'm sure this is one of those guys that everyone watching the show is going to be like, I recognize that guy. What's he from? There's like, let me see the numbers on his IMDb page this week. He's good. I like him. And
I'm on it right now, actually.
he's just like in all kinds of stuff,
he's in there. He's in a lot of them.
He's that guy from that thing,
He's
but
everything.
he's always good. So we're introduced to him, and then that's a big question. Like, who's this guy? What's he into? I mean, he's clearly like some kind of organized criminal, mobster, if that term's appropriate,
Yeah, so it's pretty clear that we were introduced to the characters in Olivia's world and how they, not just in a familiar way, relate to her, but also all they interact with her. And now, with the introduction of Stallings right at the end, we're going to get introduced to the world within, wherever Olivia was living, right? And so Stallings is a key part of that somehow.
Yeah, I wonder how much or how long it'll hang out there or how soon certain things will be filled in. There's kind of a, during this Teresa scene, she flashes to a picture of herself and Melanie, like pinned to a bulletin board or something like that. This is right before Stelling says, ah, she knows. Okay. You know, but we'll be able to move forward. She's going to tell us. She hasn't told us yet, but she's going to tell us. Because, we're threatening our kids in the other room. So yeah, he's a nice guy. Anyhow, but yeah, I mean, there seem to be connections then between Teresa, Carmen, Olivia, and Melanie, almost as the central point, because we learn that Olivia's been spending a lot of time with Melanie, and her social media presence has shifted in the direction of women's rights issues. Which, of course, John Sugar has no problem with whatsoever. And neither do I. That's good. But so I wonder, like, have they been doing something, and how does that fit together with Clifford being dead, the body being in Olivia's trunk? My working theory is they killed the guy and he put his body in Olivia's trunk, and Melanie helped Olivia, go on the run. I
Yeah,
don't know. I don't know if
which
that's
would
right.
completely make sense because Sugar has already uncovered that Melanie is hiding something, probably lots of things, and he doesn't know why, he doesn't know how, but I think that that's the I think that seems to be the path he will take is what's going on with Melanie, and eventually, I think my prediction is that will be what introduces him to the rest of this world that we just got introduced to at the end of episode two.
Yeah, that sounds right. We'll see. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to seeing how long the episodes are, because I'm the kind of guy who turned on episode two. It's like, oh, this is kind of short. That's great.
30,
30,
35 minutes or something.
37
Oh,
minutes. I'm
I
all
must
for it.
say, we have, well, we have 6 episodes left, I think. It's an 8 episode season. I think I have that
I
right.
think that's right.
And our friend Anna Gunn is credited with 6 episodes. Skylar is
Here
back.
she comes.
So she must be in the last 6 episodes.
She was mentioned, her character was mentioned in this episode, but we haven't met her yet.
Oh, okay, that's right. All right, well,
I believe she is another ex-wife of what's his name? Bernie?
Bernie, yeah.
I think. And he's got a current wife who might be credited as like Bernie's wife. So I don't
Yeah,
know how much she's
she
gonna
is
be in it, but
officially Mrs. Siegel. That's her.
same thing, same
Yeah.
difference, yeah, so
Yeah,
really
looking forward
curious
to
to
it. I mean,
see.
I like a good mystery. I like a creative endeavor, and this is a so far done a good job combining these two things.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. So anything else you want to hit on before we wrap up here?
Think I'm good. Looking forward. Next week is episode 3, Shibuya Crossing.
Right.
Whatever that
So
means.
whatever, I don't know what that means. So I have to like look it up. Is that a place? That's probably a place. Sounds like a place. But okay, hopefully you all join us next week. We continue on with Sugar. Hopefully you're enjoying the show. Hopefully you enjoy listening, talking to us talk about the show. We'll pick up with episode 3 next Friday. In the meantime, you can go read my recap on tvobsessive.com if that's something you're interested in. Read other stuff on there. You can follow us on social media. We have TV Obsessive. Please do, if you enjoyed the podcast, leave us a good rating and review. If you're on YouTube, like, subscribe, hit the thumbs up, whatever it is. And we'll see you next week.
All right, see you then.